Chapter 7. As the truck raced up the hill away from the village, Quan's words hung in the air. The men behind us fell silent, and a prickly heat rose up the back of my neck. I really thought we'd discussed all we needed to on that subject, but apparently Quan wasn't the type of dad to shrug off a situation like ours, which was kind of understandable. I glanced at Quan, and his steely expression was motionless as he focused on the road. The sun shone behind him, and all of his scars were illuminated under the bright light. At that moment, I would rather go back and face another Carnotaurus solo than answer his question. I considered making some smart-ass joke to lighten the mood, but I decided it would be better to just keep telling the truth. I had mentioned my love for the girls before, and there was no point doubling back on it. We were probably going to be with Quan and his family for a while, and I wanted to be as open and as honest as possible. "Okay," I said eventually as I looked up at the tall palm trees. "Like I said before, me and the girls I came here with are a family."
"A family usually has one wife," Quan replied,
and I heard the guys muttering behind me.
"Is my daughter not good enough for you? You need three more to satisfy you?"
"No," I quickly insisted, and I fought the instinct to say Heiwan was definitely capable of satisfying me enough. More than enough, in fact. "You know Heiwan is a strong-minded woman. She wouldn't be with me and the other girls if she didn't know I love her with everything I have."
"Hmm," Quan offered a small nod. "You met at university?"
"Yeah, I was a history student," I said, and Quan scoffed.
"Good thing monsters came," he said. "You would have wasted your skills sitting in a stuffy office looking at old buildings."
"I agree," I chuckled, and for a second I imagined where my life might have gone if the portals had never been opened. I might have gotten an awesome job with good money, but I never would have met the loves of my life or traveled to such incredible places. Certainly not on an alien spaceship. All things considered, the dinosaur apocalypse had given me a lot to be grateful for, and I tried to work out how to put that feeling into words without sounding cheesy. Then Quan asked his next question, though.
"So tell me," Quan prompted, "which one of the women is your favorite?"
"I don't have a favorite," I said sharply, and I tried to keep my tone level as I broke my situation down in the most basic way I could think of. Becca and Heiwan needed protecting when I met them, so I protected them. I had no idea I would fall in love with them both. None of it was planned.
"How did you meet them?" Tay asked from behind me. "Was it when the dinosaurs came?"
Yeah, it was in the library at Cambridge," I nodded. "Raptors had gotten into the campus, and, well, we were the only three in there at the time. Well, aside from the librarian, but he died pretty quick. I knew we shared something special the first time we killed a dino together. We just clicked. We knew it'd be suicide to take off in our own directions, too, so we found a place to hole up on campus for a while and tried to figure out how to survive. We tried contacting our families, but as you know, shit was just too messy to do much more than fight and hide. When the military started dropping bombs on the city to clear the dinos, I knew the clock was ticking on our time there. The girls were starting to panic a bit, and Becca was desperate to make sure her mom was safe. So, as we said earlier, heading to Ravenscar was our next move. Less military involvement, lower population, and at first, fewer dinos.
"Hmm. Smart," Quan muttered.
And I glanced over, but his steely expression was still unreadable as we headed down the other side of a hill. I made sure to scan the green land around us for signs of trouble, and the wind picked up slightly, but it was still a gorgeous day. I couldn't help but stare over at the ocean as the blue sparkled. But now that I had Quan's attention in a less hostile way, I wanted to keep it. "Then Cat came to find me by her own choice," I continued, as I leaned back in my seat. "We helped an army base out with some small escort missions, but the male soldiers were acting like fucking creeps, and her brigadier basically ordered her and the other women to leave. Her family was nowhere near there, and she decided she wanted to fight out the end of the world with us. We've been a close team ever since, and we've lived through a hell of a lot together." I stopped as I realized we were near the river, and I heard the men shuffle positions as we got ready to shoot if we needed to. As we neared the bridge, the water looked still. It had a dark hue to it, and I guessed it would take a while until the water dino bled out totally. There didn't seem to be any other dinosaurs lurking around over the strong smell of blood, but I kept my sharp gun ready just in case. We'd learned enough times the dinos were smart enough to plan surprise attacks, and I had visions of raptors leaping up from under the bridge as we passed over. Quan accelerated as we headed for the water, and I held my breath as we sped over the stone bridge. I looked down as we crossed and couldn't see anything through the murky liquid. We passed over the bridge without any snarling jaws coming up to meet us, and I heard multiple sighs of relief behind me as we headed toward the forest.
"And what about the purple one?"
Quan inquired, as if there had been no lull in our conversation.
"How did she come into it?"
I paused for a moment before I answered, and I chose my words very carefully. "Adhara needed help," I said eventually. "She was all alone, and she was injured, and I wanted to help her. She's still learning about us, but she has helped us as well, and I love her too." I'd never said that out loud before, as I had with the other girls. But as I spoke the words, I knew they were true. Adhara had become part of our family, and I suddenly had the urge to go and tell her how I felt. Dancing around shit like that seemed so trivial with dinosaurs hunting us daily, especially after seeing the way she looked at me and hearing how interested she was in my mating habits. I couldn't help but believe she felt the same way I did. "So, that's it." I cleared my throat. "I love Haywan, and I love the others just the same. I know it's not traditional, but the world is crawling with giant dinosaurs, and I think we should cling on to whatever makes us happy and keeps us fighting. My women keep me fighting no matter what happens, and I've seen it with my own eyes that my love for them does the same." Quan was silent, and I had no idea what he was thinking from his expression as his dark eyes glanced to the side of the road. The men behind us started having their own quiet conversations in Korean, and I tried not to feel too uncomfortable sitting and waiting for any response from Haywan's dad.
"It is not for me," Quan said finally. "I must admit, I love my wife with every ounce of my being. I could never imagine loving more than one woman."
I wasn't sure where he was going with this, but his tone seemed less confrontational than before. He glanced at me, and when he flashed a shadow of a smile, a flood of relief washed through me.
"But I am not a man who discredits others," Quan continued. "You're a good man, Jason. You have good intentions, and you do whatever you must to survive. I respect this. My daughter was lucky to be in the library on the same day as you and, Brenda."
"Becca," I corrected with a grin. "Yeah, I really don't know how I got so lucky. I never had any damn luck before this whole thing started. But maybe I was just due some."
"The world is a mysterious place," Quan sighed,
and I felt like I'd gotten a glimpse of a different person. A man who was tired but would die before he let anything happen to his people. Quan had clearly always been involved with dangerous work, but trying to take care of a whole section of Korea's largest island had to take its toll, especially with his own family on the line as well, and his youngest child in a different country for weeks on end. The rest of the drive back to the base was thankfully uneventful. There were no clicking noises from the trees as we left the road and drove into the forest, and no sound of massive wings above us. "Where do you keep the trucks?" I asked as we reached the clearing where Adhara's ship was.
"We have a storage unit nearby," Quan said,
as the men started to jump out.
"It is made of steel, but not quite as well protected as your ride."
The scarred man glanced at the spacecraft before we climbed out of the vehicle, and one of his men clambered into the driver's seat to park it. We made our way through the hedge to the entrance of the base, and I kept my sharp gun close until we stepped into the elevator. When we were all in the glass structure, the smell of stale river water was very apparent, and I was eager to jump in the shower as soon as I'd caught up with the girls. Tay hit the golden button to take us down, and I felt lighter as the desperation to impress Quan lessened. If he was pleased his daughter was with me, I didn't have to prove anything else. The cement walls flew past us as we descended into the ground, and I stretched out my arms as the muscles cramped from clutching the sharp gun so tightly. When we reached the lower floor, I could see the lobby was relatively empty except for all of my girls, who sat on the benches by the water feature. There was a moment when they hadn't spotted us yet, and I could see them all in deep conversation. My stomach did a flip as I thought about how lucky I was, and I wanted to drag them into bed all over again, but I wanted Idhara to join us this time. The elevator doors pinged open, and the girls' heads turned around as I stepped out into the lobby.
Jason!
Heiwan called as they rushed over to us.
Oh, we were starting to get worried.
Worried? I grinned as I stooped down and kissed the Korean beauty on the forehead. If I'm with these guys, there's no way I'm not safe.
We saw the other guy who got brought back,
Kat said as she bit her lip.
His leg was all kinds of fucked up. They told us you got attacked by a river dino? Ugh, it sure smells like you did,
Becca said as she scrunched up her pretty face.
Jason, I love you, but ew.
Stop. I'm gonna blush, I chuckled.
You did not get hurt?
Idhara asked as she scanned my body with her emerald eyes. I'm fine, I smiled.
He is more than fine, Kwan said as he placed a hand on my shoulder, and Heiwan's face lit up.
They bonded, Sun-hee laughed. I do not think it would happen if Jason wasn't such a good fighter, though. Things were said. I feared for his life a little.
I chuckled as Kwan sent his son a tight-lipped glance, but then he turned his attention to Heiwan instead.
I am happy you are with this man, Kwan said in a gravelly timbre. He protects you, and he loves you. I could not ask for someone better for my precious daughter.
Heiwan's blue eyes filled up with tears as she flung herself into her father's arms.
I am so happy you two are getting along,
she squealed.
That is all I wanted.
Heiwan smiled at me as soon as she broke away from her hug, and she held her father's hand as she took a deep breath.
I have some news,
she said, and my heart clenched.
I have already told Oma, and I am so grateful that you are giving Jason a chance.
I glanced over at the rest of the girls, and they just smiled at me. I guess they'd discussed making the pregnancy announcement before we arrived home, but I couldn't help but feel like this probably wasn't the ideal time. I'd only earned my first grin from Kwan about 3 minutes ago, and somehow I didn't think he was ready for the whole I got your daughter pregnant thing.
Is everything all right? Kwan asked with narrowed eyes.
Oh, yes,
Heiwan nodded.
Everything is wonderful. I'm pregnant.
The world seemed to stand still as silence permeated the lobby. The armed men behind Kwan suddenly seemed really fucking big, and my palms started to sweat as I watched the Underground King process the information, which for him was really just staring down his daughter with the same stone-faced, scarred, and unreadable expression that unnerved me more and more by the minute. Beyond Kwan, Sun-hee's mouth was open. Tae raised an eyebrow, and Min-joon looked over at me with an expressionless face that matched his father's mask to a T. The girls' smiles faded the longer the lobby stayed silent, and I watched Kwan's dark eyes as he kept his gaze on Heiwan. Then he slowly cracked his neck, and as every click echoed around us, I tried to resist the urge to take a fucking massive step away from him. Becca pulled an uncomfortable face, and Idhara fidgeted her purple fingers faster than ever at her sides. Kat's eyes darted to the armed men as her hand slowly crept up to her weapon, like a true soldier. And when our eyes met, she sent me the subtlest nod I'd ever seen in my life. I abruptly shook my head with as little movement as possible. But then Kwan spoke, and I almost jumped out of my skin at the sound.
I'm having a grandchild,
Kwan asked, and Heiwan nodded. Then the Korean man turned to me and folded his arms.
And when are you marrying my daughter?
The man asked. I managed.
There will be a wedding, yes?
Kwan continued, and I could tell it was very much a statement and not a question. I began.
The day after tomorrow,
Kwan nodded,
at the temple in the village. I will get everything in order and make sure it's properly guarded. I cannot have you fighting off monsters on your wedding day.
The Korean man flashed me a sudden smile that looked more like a warning than happiness. And with that, he strode away and gave a sharp whistle for his sons and men to follow behind him. Sun Hee gave his sister a quick kiss on the cheek as he passed, and he whispered something in Korean that made Hae-won smile tensely. I just stood there and tried to process. The only sound in the lobby was the men's fading footsteps and the gentle bubble of the water feature. But as the men disappeared down a long hallway, my girls all turned to me.
Well,
Kat muttered and cleared her throat.
That went from 0 to 100 real fucking quick.
Uh-huh, I nodded. I can't believe I'm alive right now.
Yeah, I saw your soul leave your body when he cracked his neck.
Becca snickered.
Jason,
Hae-won mumbled, and I blinked myself out of a daze to find my Korean lover with tears in her big blue eyes.
I'm so sorry. I did not think he would say that. I can't believe it. Please, don't be mad. I can fix this.
Mad? I snorted, and I immediately pulled her into my arms. Hae-won, why would I be mad?
Because my dad is being so rude.
She groaned and clutched her red cheeks.
This is so embarrassing.
Hey, I interrupted. I'm not mad. I love you, and I love our kid. There's not a single thing in the world that would make me not want to marry you. So if you want that, I want it too. The Korean beauty sniffed and stared up at me as I stroked her raven black hair. And I gently wiped a tear off her soft cheek before I left a soft kiss on her lips.
You don't mind?
Hae-won whispered.
You really don't?
Hell no, I grinned as I started to realize how funny the situation was. I didn't plan on flying to Korea in an alien spaceship and marrying a mobster's daughter, but you are the girl of my dreams, and I want to marry you.
Are you sure?
Hae-won asked again. And she dug her fingers into my arms as she looked up at me.
If you don't want to do this, we can get back on Edhara's ship and go back to Ravenscar, and then we'll just pretend none of this ever happened.
No, we're not doing that, I laughed. Listen, I think getting married to you sounds awesome. More than awesome, actually. It took me by surprise, for sure, and I kind of thought I was just going to get shot in the head instead, but this is the most fantastic way I think this day could have gone. I love you so much, Hae-won. Let's get married. My Korean lover's face lit up, and she started to bounce up and down as she all out squealed. Becca immediately joined in, and between the two girls, the lobby was echoing with the highest-pitched giggles I'd ever heard in my life.
This is so exciting!
Hae-won screeched.
Thank you so much, Jason. I can't believe you'll marry me. But, of course, I want to marry you. We are getting married, you and me.
Yeah, we are, I snickered with pride.
I fucking love weddings,
Becca announced.
Pretty dresses, good food.
Getting drunk,
Kat laughed.
Oh, wait. Becca and Hae-won can't do that with babies on board. Don't worry, I'll drink enough for both of you.
I'll catch up after the baby's here,
Becca giggled.
But I appreciate your honorable sacrifice. There will be swimming?
Edhara asked, and we all turned to look at her.
What?
Becca asked.
Is this what it is called?
The alien asked.
Swimming? When you stand inside the water?
Yes.
Kat laughed.
But why would anyone be swimming at the wedding?
Edhara just stared at Kat, and I couldn't help but laugh at how cute she was when she didn't understand human traits.
You do not stand in water?
The alien asked as she tilted her head to one side.
When you become mating partners?
Not at any wedding I've been to,
Kat said with a shrug.
But don't worry, I'll show you the ropes. By that, I mean I'll get you drunk.
Sounds like the perfect wedding, I chuckled. I have a feeling it's going to be the best day of my life.
I cannot wait,
Hae-won gushed.
After all we have been through together, we finally get a celebration. Oh, and you must marry Becca and Kat, too.
We can figure that out later,
Becca laughed.
I just wanted Jason's baby, and I got that. I didn't even think we'd live long enough to see my mum, and we did, so I'm quite happy.
This has been a long time coming for both of you,
Kat said as she smiled at Hae-won and me.
Don't worry about me right now.
Okay, I said. I guess we still have some shit to sort out until then, though.
I just want to plan wedding stuff,
Becca laughed. But then she frowned and scrunched up her nose.
Do we really need to keep saving the world?
Do it for our baby, I smiled, and Becca's face lit up.
I love when you say that,
she purred as she rubbed her stomach.
I would do anything for our baby.
Me too, I assured her. Which is why we need to continue to kill every fucking dino on the planet. Did you have any luck with the satellite?
We managed to get a signal,
Kat said.
Adhara sent a message out to the other scouts.
Holy shit, really? I gasped. And a gaping grin spread across my face. This day just keeps getting better. What'd you say to them?
I told them everything,
Adhara replied.
About the mix-up and how we need to stop the Omati. But they did not reply.
Oh, my grin dropped. Are you sure the message went through?
Yes,
the alien nodded.
I waited for a reply all morning. There was none.
Okay, I said and furrowed my brow. Well, we have no idea where the other scouts are or what they're doing right now. They might be busy. The important thing is you sent the message out. That's the whole reason we came to Korea. The alien nodded, but she still looked disheartened as she tugged on a strand of her silver hair. I wanted to wrap my arms around her, but I settled for putting a hand on her shoulder and giving her a squeeze.
They're serving up lunch,
Becca said.
G hurried off to make it after we told her about the babies.
Does Kwan know you're pregnant too?
Kat asked, and the blonde shrugged.
I'm sure G will tell him,
Becca said.
I didn't want to step on Haewon's toes. Her dad's awesome, but he's kind of intense.
That is true, I laughed. It only took killing several dinos to somewhat earn his respect.
Let's go through to the dining room,
Becca chuckled.
I could murder a cup of tea. I listened to everyone talk about satellites all morning, and I understood about four words of it all.
Got to keep my pregnant ladies happy, I sighed. Let's go get you some tea.
What are Korean biscuits like?
Becca asked.
Do you have jammy dodgers? My mother makes amazing honey cookies.
Haewon smiled.
They're even better than jammy dodgers. I'll believe it when I taste it.
Becca snorted, and her stomach rumbled loudly.
That's our cue.
Kat laughed as she linked arms with her blonde friend, and we started to make our way through the lobby and toward the dining room. My mind raced as I wondered how long it would take the other scouts to reply. I didn't want to say anything to Adhara, but I was worried they'd met the same fate as the fourth alien who'd come down with them. Only a couple of days ago, we'd overheard government officials discussing how one of the male scouts in Adhara's crew had been captured and killed, and there was every chance the same could have happened to the last two scouts. I knew that would already have crossed Adhara's mind, so there was no point bringing up the worst-case scenarios. The dining room was quiet when we reached it, and G was inside with two other women and had brought out piles of food and teapots. Haewon's mother wore a pale yellow dress today, and her dark hair was carefully pleated and pinned to the back of her head. The teapots were made of ruby-colored china, and there were matching cups laid out on the tables as a sweet, sugary smell lingered in the air. It looked like G had brought out several kinds of baked goods, too, and she smiled as she hurried over to us.
Oh, this smells amazing,
Becca groaned.
I need to keep you well fed,
G said.
You are both carrying precious cargo. You must make sure you are eating enough.
She ushered us to one of the tables, and we sat down on the comfortable floor as the other two women poured us tea. They placed the plates of cakes and cookies down in front of us, and my mouth began to water at the smell of warm sugar.
Haewon,
Becca said as we started to pile our plates up.
Don't you have something to tell your mum? Oh,
Haewon mumbled through a mouthful of lemon cake.
Oh, yes. What is it?
G asked as she hovered beside her daughter.
Is everything all right?
Oma?
Haewon said as she dabbed her mouth with a napkin.
Jason and I are getting married.
G gasped, and she knelt down to fling her arms around her daughter. She said something in Korean and then kissed Haewon's head.
What wonderful news!
G said as she reached a hand across the table to hold mine.
We are very much in need of happy news right now.
I agree, and I can't wait to marry your daughter, I said with a grin. We actually drove by the temple today. It's beautiful.
The one in Songup Village?
G asked.
Oh, yes. It is even more gorgeous inside. You will need to get your outfits prepared.
I actually didn't bring anything fancy with me, I admitted. I just have jeans and some other black pants.
Do not worry about that,
G said as she waved her hand.
There is a beautiful clothing shop in one of the larger villages nearby. You can all pick something out from there.
The owner won't mind if we take stuff?
Becca asked.
Of course not,
G said.
Quan protects them. They respect our family very much. Even if they want money for it all, we will pay them.
Shopping!
Becca squealed excitedly.
I'm so excited to see what Korean wedding gear's like.
I will leave you to it.
G smiled as she got back to her feet.
I am so happy with this news, but I need to plan what I will wear too. Mother of the bride is a vital role.
With that, the Korean woman hurried off as she hummed to herself, and the other older women followed as they left us alone to our tea.
Wedding is the human love union,
Edhara said as she examined a pink cupcake.
So, what do we do? We get to wear pretty dresses and get all dolled up.
Becca smiled and twirled a lock of her blonde hair.
Wait, do we still wear dresses to a Korean wedding?
Of course,
Haewon laughed.
You can wear anything you like. Traditionally, I should wear red and Jason will wear blue.
Is that like your version of the white dress?
Kat asked.
You're only meant to wear white if you're a virgin. I think that ship might have sailed for you.
I don't know what you mean.
Haewon smirked as she flicked her hair.
I am a very respectable young lady.
Me too,
Becca nodded.
Apart from all those times Jason's been spanking my ass and coming all over me.
The girls burst out laughing, and Edhara's face flushed dark purple as she nibbled the icing on her cake. Don't let Quan hear that, I muttered as I looked over at the door. He doesn't need to hear about us all sleeping together.
They're pregnant,
Kat snorted.
I think he probably worked out how that happened for himself.
Still, I smirked, he doesn't know you snuck into my room for some fun last night.
Are we doing that again?
Kat asked eagerly.
We can all have one big sexy wedding celebration.
Oh, that would be so hot,
Becca moaned.
We could spread Haewon's thighs for Jason and have fun with both of them while they fuck each other.
I would like that,
Haewon smiled. I groaned at the thought of Becca's fantasy, but I knew I was walking on thin ice with Quan, and I couldn't risk blowing it. Not tonight, I forced myself to say. I need to keep the father of the bride on my team until I'm officially in the family, all right?
I think I will check the radio again soon,
Edhara suddenly announced, and I realized we must be making her uncomfortable.
I am worried for my friends.
How about we do that this evening, I offered. Maybe they've been busy passing the message on to the rest of your people as fast as they can? Edhara didn't look convinced, and she bit her lip as she twirled her cup around on the plate. Then I heard footsteps out in the hall and turned to see G come back into the room looking pleased with herself.
I have a little wedding present for you,
she said as she hurried over to us.
You could probably use some relaxation, yes?
Definitely, I smiled.
How about I show you to the spa?
G asked, and Becca clapped.
Oh, yes, please,
the blonde Brit immediately answered.
Is there really one here?
Haewon asked.
I was not sure if Sun-hee was just joking with me or not.
Oh, yes, there is,
the older woman smiled.
I cannot think of a better reason to use it than a wedding.
My clothes still smelled faintly of river water, and my leg muscles had a dull pain ever since I'd jumped on the river dino. The idea of some spa relaxation with my girls sounded perfect, especially if it would distract us from the radio signal we were waiting for. Spa day it is, then, I grinned, as the girls scrambled to their feet. Is there a sauna?
Of course,
G laughed.
Only the best in this family. Come with me. I will show you there.
The Korean woman linked arms with her daughter as we headed back into the lobby, and Edhara took her cupcake with her as she took tiny bites.
I have forgot this word,
the alien whispered to me.
What is spa?
Somewhere to relax, I whispered back, as G led us toward the guarded elevators. There's usually massages and skin treatments. The sauna is a really hot, steamy room to sit in.
Oh,
Edhara nodded, but she didn't look like she understood any of that. We're going up, I asked, or further down?
Surely up,
Kat replied.
There's no way this place could go any further underground. You would be surprised,
G laughed. Kat raised her eyebrows, and I wondered just how huge Quan's kingdom was. Even if the entire world did go to hell, there was probably more than enough room in the base to live comfortably, especially with the luxurious furnishings and abundance of food. The two armed men nodded to G as she approached the elevator, and they hit the button for her so the glass doors slid open. Then we piled inside, and G pressed a golden button I hadn't seen anyone use before.
Ah, I'm so excited!
Becca squealed as we started to move upward.
Even Ravenhall didn't have a spa.
This place is a whole new world, I chuckled. Is the spa used often?
Not often,
G replied.
There has not been much time lately for people to relax there.
The concrete walls rushed past as we started our journey upward, and then the elevator quickly slowed down again as it stopped at the floor which came before the ground level.
Ooh,
Becca said.
We get to explore the mystery floor.
The glass doors slid open, and we stepped out into a brightly lit hallway with white walls and red carpeted floor. The lights were slightly dimmer than the lower level, and there didn't look to be as many doors along the corridor.
This way,
G said, and turned left. The Korean woman led us past two black doors and stopped outside the third. There was no sign or any marking to indicate what was inside, just matte paint over a wooden door.
Here we go,
she smiled.
I will leave you young people to look around for yourselves.
Is it open?
Kat asked, and G nodded.
You should find everything you need inside,
she assured us.
There are helpers if you have any questions.
With that, she squeezed Haewon's hand and headed back toward the elevator. Guess I'll lead the way then, I said.
What if it's a trap?
Edhara whispered as she shuffled close to me. I don't think so, I reassured her. G wouldn't try and hurt her own daughter.
Let's go,
Becca said, and the blonde pushed the door open. I stepped into a room so large it took me a moment to properly take it in. The walls were a soft gold, the carpet was beige, and from what I could see, it was in fact a bar and not a spa. There was a large oak bar in the middle of the room that seemed to be fully stocked with every drink under the sun. There were black leather armchairs with footstools and tables with magazines and books on top. I think spa got translated wrong, I said, as Kat closed the door behind us. This is a bar?
Yes,
Haewon said with a furrowed brow.
That is strange. My mother speaks fluent English.
We walked further in, and I noticed there was a doorway at the back left corner of the large room. We strode over the soft carpet, and I peered through the doorway to see it led to a reception desk with a young woman behind it. What the hell is this place? I muttered as we stared in. How is it so big?
Hello,
the young woman said politely as she looked up from her desk.
This is the way to the spa.
Of course it is,
Kat laughed.
I'm slightly tempted to hang out at the unmanned bar, though.
Spa time first,
Becca said as she grabbed the soldier's arm.
Then you can down as many beers as you want. We need to get our skin all ready for the big day.
We made our way to the reception desk, and the young woman smiled at us as she stood up. She had her dark hair wrapped up in a red silk headscarf and wore a plain white uniform with a delicate golden necklace. Her eyes flickered to Edhara, but she managed to cover any surprise with a soft smile as she looked back at me. The room looked like a regular lobby area with plain walls, and a couple of watercolor pictures were hung up. There was a small coffee table and three chairs beside a water cooler, and I only saw one white door with a small golden plaque that said something in Korean.
Good afternoon,
the young woman said.
Welcome to our spa facilities. Please feel free to use whichever services you please, and let me know if you need anything.
She handed me a brochure which had a little map and a list of massages and treatments. Becca said as she bounced up and down.
Thanks! We're going to go explore. Come on, guys!
The pretty blonde grabbed my hand and pulled me toward the door. As she pushed it open, I was hit with a wave of lavender and mint scents along with gentle, ethereal music. The next room we entered had six massage beds along the middle and reclining chairs along the wall. There was a table piled high with labeled black pots, and I guessed they were for various facials and treatments. There were two more women who stood inside, and they gave us a small bow as we walked in. Hey, I said. We're just exploring.
Very good,
the younger-looking woman said.
Feel free to ask for any of the treatments. Andesana is through this door.
Becca took the brochure from my hand and started to scan the options. And Adhara examined the beds with knitted eyebrows.
I want to get my toenails painted,
Heiwan said as she leaned over to look at the leaflet.
I am getting married after all. I should treat myself.
Oh, me too,
Becca nodded.
I want, red nails and one of the cooling face masks, please.
The two women nodded and then started to set up some of the pots next to the chairs along the wall. I think I'll just hit the sauna, I grinned. I'm pretty set with the nails, and I think my body could use some relaxation.
Same,
Kat agreed.
That sounds amazing.
I will go also,
Adhara said as she straightened up from examining the bed.
I do not trust these beds with holes.
Sauna is through that door,
the older woman smiled.
Okay, ladies, shoes off and come and sit down.
Becca and Heiwan jumped up on the recliner chairs, and the spa workers knelt at their feet with an array of colored nail polishes. Have fun, I called, as I headed for the white door, and I stepped into a much darker room. The floors were tiled in a dark burgundy color, and the sauna itself was inside a glass-walled room ahead. There were fluffy white robes hanging up along the wall with rows of matching slippers underneath, and two partitions stood to the side, which I guessed were for changing behind, along with some storage boxes for clothes and shoes.
Let's do this.
Kat grabbed one of the robes and started to strip. I glanced at Adhara and decided I should probably get changed behind one of the partitions. The alien carefully picked up one of the robes and eyed the half-naked soldier in the room with some concern. You can change behind there, I said as I pointed to the partition beside her. Then I took a robe for myself and stood behind the folded wall as I changed. I glanced over at Kat as she unclipped her bra and let her amazing breasts tumble free. But I quickly focused back on my own clothing. I could have gotten steamy and excited if it was just Kat or the other girls, but I didn't want to make any assumptions with Adhara. Kat pulled her robe on and then winked at me as she put all her clothes into one of the storage boxes.
Ready to get steamy?
The pretty soldier purred, and I let out a groan as she swayed over to the sauna. I stepped out from behind my screen at the same time as Adhara, and it was the first time since we fixed her injury at Ravenhall that I'd seen her long legs out of her pants. Her lilac skin looked soft and hairless, and the robe came just to her knees. Her long limbs meant the sleeves were slightly too short, and I tried not to stare at the way the material clung to her awesome body.
I am dressed fine for this?
The beautiful alien asked as she pulled at the sleeves.
This does not fit very good.
You look amazing, I smiled. Mine is kind of short too, see? I wiggled my legs at her, and her smile showed off her perfectly straight teeth.
Why are these made wrong?
The alien asked as we started to follow Kat. They would fit Heiwan perfectly, I said. But don't worry, it's just me and Kat in there. Nobody cares if it doesn't fit right. I opened the glass door and let Adhara in first, and she immediately jumped back out of the room with a gasp.
It is on fire!
She spluttered.
Is Kat okay?
I'm fine,
the soldier laughed from inside.
Come on, it's just steam. It won't hurt you.
It's safe, I added. It makes you sweat and relax, and it feels amazing. Trust me. Adhara wiggled her fingers by her side as she peered through the steamy glass, and her emerald eyes scanned every inch of the room like some enemy might be lurking in the mist. Here, I said gently as I reached out a hand. We'll go in together. The lilac woman looked down at my hand for a moment, but then she slowly lifted her own to meet it. She wove her slender fingers into mine, and an electric shock ran through my body as her soft skin clutched onto me. I wanted to pull her into my arms right that instant, and to feel the rest of her body pressed up against me. Her silver freckles seemed to reflect the light as she met my gaze, and for a second, I thought she was about to lean into me. I guessed it was just wishful thinking, though, since she just blinked at me for a long moment. Then I held the door open again to let her through. And as she hesitated, I took the first step into the steamy room with her hand still clutched in mine. Adhara slowly followed me, and I kept my eyes on her beautiful face as the door shut behind her.
Welcome,
Kat sighed from the bench that ran along the wall.
Come on in. It's gorgeously sweaty in here.
The pretty soldier's robe had loosened slightly to show off her cleavage, and she sent me a little wave as I looked down at her sculpted calves. "Looks good in here," I winked. "What do you think, Ihara? You could spend some time in here with us, right?" Her hand still gripped onto mine, and she nodded as she looked up at the ceiling.
"Yes, I stay with you,"
she decided.
"Warm. Nice."
"I'm glad to hear it," I chuckled, and I led her over to the bench and sat down between the two girls. Kat had her legs stretched out, and the short robe let her muscular thighs poke out temptingly. I rested a hand on her leg and had to resist every urge in my body that wanted to start stroking her a little higher up her smooth skin. Kat chuckled as she glanced my way, and I guessed by the way she bit her lip that she shared the same thoughts. Ihara had eased her grip on my hand, and when I looked over at her, I saw her eyes were locked on my outstretched legs. She quickly looked back up at the doorway when she noticed me watching her, and she slid her hand out of mine as she adjusted her robe. Despite how nervous the beautiful alien was, the steam made every muscle in my body relax, and I hadn't realized how tense I was until the tension vanished like a spool unraveling. "Damn, this is good." I leaned back against the wall and closed my eyes. There were no worries of dinosaurs or radio signals in my mind, and all I thought about were my girls and how lucky I was to be with them. With my hand resting on Kat's thigh, I grew sleepy in the heat, and within a few seconds, I dreamt of pulling the two girls beside me close and losing our robes. There were steamy breasts everywhere, and a familiar humming sound mingled with Kat's moans in my mind. But my mind went wild trying to imagine what Ihara looked like under that robe. I was drifting in a fantasy where Kat's hand was running up my thigh, and Ihara was pushing herself against me as she kissed my neck when I suddenly jolted awake. Then I realized Kat's hand was actually on my leg, and Ihara was snuggled into my arm. I could feel the alien's firm breast through her thin robe, and I hoped my body hadn't gotten too excited during my dream.
"Hey there,"
Kat grinned as she ran her fingers teasingly close to the hem of my robe.
"We were just discussing the wedding."
"You were?" I asked, as I put an arm around the soldier's shoulder.
"Well,"
Kat said,
"the wedding night, specifically."
"There are traditions on wedding night,"
Ihara piped up, and she leaned back with a smile.
"Kat is telling me about traditional mating that happens."
"Hmm?" I glanced at the gorgeous alien and her long legs that peeked out of her robe.
"Tell me?"
Her emerald eyes fluttered while steamy dewdrops clung to her freckled cheeks, and she tilted her head as if she knew how irresistible she was. "Yeah," I managed. "That is usually what happens on a wedding night. I'm pretty excited for that part."
"Is it only the brides who can join?"
Kat asked innocently as she gently kissed my neck.
"Or can we come in too? I liked Becca's little idea about us all playing with you and Haywan while you fuck."
Us? I stuttered, and Kat giggled in my ear like she knew damn well what her words were doing to me. I snuck another glance at Ihara, but she'd closed her eyes as she tilted her head back. She didn't say anything as she sat with a hint of a smile on her purple lips, and I felt lightheaded at the thought of those long lilac legs wrapped around me as we sweated together.
"This does feel good,"
the alien said in a calm tone.
"Humans have good ideas with this hot room."
"Yeah," I muttered as I tried to peel my gaze away from her legs. "How long have we been in?"
"Ages."
Kat sighed and tussled her curly hair.
"We should probably go get the others before we turn into prunes."
I slowly forced myself to stand up, and my body felt amazingly rejuvenated. I stretched out my arms, and my muscles didn't seem as tired anymore. And once we made our way out of the sauna, we pulled our robes off to get dressed again. I was half asleep and forgot to stand behind the screen as I started to get changed. Ihara had moved behind hers, but her eyes flickered over to me as I pulled on my pants, and I instantly realized my rock-hard cock was fully on display. And I really didn't give a fuck. If Ihara wanted to look, I wanted her to know she was allowed to look all she wanted. She'd certainly seemed like she couldn't help herself lately, anyways.
"Ooh,"
Becca purred as she swung open the door from the spa.
Just in time for Jason getting his kit off.
My favorite thing to watch.
Haywan grinned as she came out to the steam room. The kit is just going back on, I chuckled. But Kat and Adhara were just discussing the wedding night, so you'll get to see as much as you want then.
And then every night after.
Haywan added as she skipped over to me. She wrapped her arms around my neck, and I grabbed her waist as I pulled her in for a kiss. She giggled as I ran my hands down over her firm ass, and her soft lips tasted like strawberries after her spa treatment.
I think the steam got everyone excited,
Becca smirked. I reached an arm out to my blonde supermodel lover and pulled her into me and Haywan. Becca smiled up at me and then stood on her tiptoes for a kiss. I kept one hand on Haywan's ass as I kissed the blonde Brit, and I was tempted to pull them all back into the sauna right then and there. Then I remembered there was still a chance that Hara wasn't looking for that, and I glanced over to see her watching me intently. Her eyes darted down to her feet when I caught her eye, and I smirked a bit as I gave Becca and Haywan a final squeeze.
Oh, it was so relaxing in there.
Kat sighed as she toweled her damp curls.
Did you guys enjoy your facial stuff?
I feel amazing,
Haywan said and stroked her own cheeks.
Very brighter.
And look,
Becca said as she held out her hands.
We got manicures to match our pedicures.
The blonde showed off her deep red nail polish, and Haywan had gotten a shiny black to match her goth aesthetic. Looks like you girls had fun, I chuckled. Where'd the staff go?
I think they clocked off.
Becca shrugged.
It is kind of late.
I think I'm ready to fall asleep, I nodded. That steam got into my brain. We started to head out into the reception area, and the young woman was still behind the desk as we left. She smiled at us as we passed, and we walked into the room with the bar. I can't get over this place, I muttered, as we walked across the carpeted floor. I would never bother going outside if I lived here.
What else do you think is in here?
Kat asked as we headed back out toward the elevator.
G hinted there was an even further underground level.
Maybe it is a dungeon,
Haywan whispered with eager eyes.
And my father throws in anyone who he does not like.
Oh, careful, Jason,
Becca smirked.
One wrong move and you're going down to the dungeon.
Only if you come with me, I grinned, and pinched Becca's tight butt as she squealed. Then we piled into the glass elevator and my hand hovered over the buttons.
This one,
Adhara said, and she reached out to hit the one next to my finger.
So,
Haywan said sweetly,
are we all having bedtime together again?
Yes, please,
Becca said.
I sleep so well after a night with Jason.
I want to, I groaned. So badly, but I can't break Kwan's rules tonight, not before I marry his daughter. That guy is intimidating. And he didn't shoot me today. I'm on a roll.
Jason,
Haywan pouted.
That is so sweet. I want sex very much, but I understand. I will just have to dream about it instead. We all will.
Kat sighed as the elevator reached the lobby.
But on wedding night, we all get to help consummate the marriage. Deal?
Deal.
Haywan giggled, and the doors slid open onto the quiet floor. The guard stood silently at the side of the elevator, and I stepped out to hear the gentle bubbling sound of the water feature.
Well,
Becca sighed.
I suppose we say goodnight, then. We'll see you tomorrow, Jason.
Goodnight. I smiled as the girls took it in turns to reach up for a kiss. I'll make sure you all get taken care of soon, but I promise, I'll be dreaming of you all too. Adhara held back from the group slightly, but she smiled at me as I gave them all a wave. Then I started to head off past the stone dragon and made my way down the men's corridor. The girls giggled as they walked to their own rooms, and I took the key card out of my pocket as I reached my door. The sauna had relaxed me so much, I knew it would only take my head hitting the pillow to fall asleep. I dragged my feet inside and started to tear my clothes off the second I closed the door. Then I flicked the light off and turned on the small bedside lamp to gently illuminate the room. The large bed looked so inviting, and I tore the sheets back to climb in. But I stopped as I heard a gentle tap on my door. I groggily pulled my boxers back on so I could answer without being completely naked, and I slowly opened the door to find Adhara waiting. Her beautiful green eyes glanced down at my bare chest, and they lingered there for several seconds. "Hey there," I whispered with a groggy grin. "Everything okay?"
"I know you do not want anyone in your room tonight,"
the pretty alien whispered back.
"But I have wanted for a very long time to be alone with you."
Oh. I tried to work out what she was getting at while my imagination immediately ran wild.
"Jason,"
she continued, and she took a step forward so her body almost touched mine.
"I want to meet with you, like the others have. Would that be fine?"
My mouth dropped open as I looked into her emerald eyes, and my entire body suddenly jolted awake. The beautiful alien fluttered her silver eyelashes as she smiled the tiniest bit, and I didn't have to think twice before I nodded.